Is it possible to lose your salvation? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. You've tuned in on a good day because Bob and Sean are answering your questions, questions from listeners. You can reach out to us with your questions at radio@faithalone.org. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We are continuing our Q&A, so we're answering your questions. Certainly, you don't get a whole lot of chances to do that in a typical church. You definitely can't do it in a sermon. And even in Bible studies, you might not feel comfortable asking these questions. Often, Bible studies are still one-way streets, you know, with the teacher imparting information and you just need to be quiet. So please feel free to send them to us at ges@faithalone.org, and we're going to do our best to answer them from Scripture. Now, this is kind of an unusual question from Marlon. And Marlon says, so as an ELCA Lutheran, and I think what he means is an Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which is one of the more liberal Lutheran denominations. He says, we believe in grace alone, through faith alone, and that you can never lose your salvation even if we continually sin. Is that correct? Well, first of all, I'm not an expert in what the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America believes, but I'm pretty sure they don't believe in eternal security if they are traditional Lutherans in that sense. In the Missouri Synod website, they have an article there that I've read myself that definitely says eternal security is not true and you can lose your salvation. But I think Lutheran theologians might contradict themselves a little bit over what you need to do to lose your salvation or even what that means. I think probably some would say if you stop believing, then you stop being eternally secure, which kind of means you were never eternally secure in the first place.
Well, I remember reading Luther himself, and he gave an illustration in which he said salvation is like a big ocean liner that's moving across the ocean. If you get on board...
Are you sure Luther used that
I'm
illustration?
I'm making this whole thing up. He did. It might not have been the ocean.
Not an ocean liner, okay.
It could have been just a ship going from Paris to London or something, but I guess you can't take a ship all the way to London, but to Dover, right? The Dover Cliffs. Anyway, he said, as long as you're on the ship, you get there. It doesn't matter if you're living a godly or an ungodly life on the ship, you're going to get there.
Right.
But he said, if you jump off the ship, you're not getting there. And he said, the same thing is true with the Christian faith. He said, as long as you stay in the church, you're getting there because the church is the vehicle. But if you leave the church, well, then you're not going to get there. And a lot of Lutherans today seem to hold that view. They will say, if you partake of the sacraments, particularly the Lord's Supper, because baptism is something that's a one-time thing. But if you partake of the sacraments and you continue to come to church, that's part of partaking of the Lord's Supper.
If you use the means of grace.
If you use the means of grace, then you're going to make it.
Yeah.
It's not so much, at least the way I think some of them will say, that you've lost your salvation if you don't do that. It's just you've gotten off the only vehicle that's getting there. Now, the funny thing is, this is very similar to Catholicism, because for Catholicism, the Catholic Church is the vehicle for salvation.
Right.
And you need to stay in the Catholic Church. Now, they have more graces, right? They have more sacraments. They have seven sacraments.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be involved in those sacraments, including the last rites. But the point is, in terms of his question, he's correct that simply by believing in Jesus, a person is secure and can never lose it, even if they continue to sin.
Right. So whether or not the Evangelical Lutheran Church believes this, you should be sure that you are saved by faith apart from works. And the moment you've believed in Jesus for eternal life, you have that life and you can never lose it no matter what you do.
Right. And we could give him some verses like Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Or John 6:28-29, when Jesus is asked, what are the works of God? They want to know how to do those works. Right. And he says, this is the work, singular, of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.
Or John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So Marlon, once you are in Jesus' hand by faith, once you have that eternal life, You are also in the Father's hands, and no one can ever snatch you away, and you'll never perish.
Absolutely.
Whether or not your church teaches that or not, I don't know, but that's what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And if that's what you believe, then we are going to meet each other in eternity.
Amen.
All right, next question. This is from Lon. And Lon has a question about a blog that I wrote about Oswald Chambers, but it's about the atonement. And I guess Oswald Chambers seems to say we should be believing in the miraculous atonement by the cross of Christ, and that that is necessary for justification. And then Lon's question is this. Aren't we saying, so those of us who are free grace, aren't we saying that the universal atonement of Christ applies to us whether we, quote unquote, plug into the socket through belief or not? And so isn't really believing in the atonement, that's not the same as believing in Jesus for eternal life. And I think that is right to some extent. Yeah.
Basically, this comes back to something we've talked about before. I think you call it a package, but that when we believe in Jesus, we get part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
We get everlasting life.
Right.
But we don't get all the package. And then you have to walk in the light and confess our sins in order to have ongoing cleansing. But if we don't believe in Jesus, we don't receive the forgiveness of our sins. We don't receive everlasting life. You've got to believe to get the life. However, even if we don't believe in Jesus, as Lon says, the blood of Christ does take away our sins in sense of our sins are no longer a barrier between us and God.
Yeah, so what you're saying is there's more than one benefit to the atonement.
That's how you call it, more
right?
than one benefit.
And
yeah.
there are different benefits for different people under different conditions.
Right.
And some benefits apply to the whole world, whether they believe in Jesus or not, or even whether they know about it or not.
That's like John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Right. Or Jesus dying for these false teachers who deny the master who bought
them. 2 Peter 2, 1 and too, yeah.
But then there are other benefits, like you were saying, that only are given to believers. John 3:16, the benefit of eternal life.
Right.
And some benefits like fellowship forgiveness, only given to believers who meet these other conditions.
Right.
I don't know exactly what Lon is asking, but I think Lon is saying, so believing in the atonement is not equivalent to believing in Jesus for eternal life. And I think that's true because every single Christian on earth who has ever lived believe that Jesus died on the cross for sin. But they don't all believe in him for eternal life.
Right. And by the word Christian, you mean someone who professes to follow Christ
right.
or believe in Christ.
I'm talking
but
about
not
sociologically.
Necessarily born again. Yeah,
yeah. Sociologically, people who identify as Christ followers or identify.
Right. A lot of those people, and we don't know what percentage, but a lot of them are born again, and some of them aren't born again.
Right.
Maybe many of them are not born again.
Right, right. Yeah. Because they look at the cross and they think to themselves, this is Jesus giving me a chance to earn my salvation by works.
Right, right.
Or this is Jesus giving me, through this, I get a little divine oomph so that now I can fulfill the Ten Commandments.
I've never heard of this divine oomph.
A little divine oomph.
Okay.
You know, it's like substantia. It's grace. But grace in terms of this is just a little push to help us be perfect because it wasn't working before. But that is not the saving message.
No.
The saving message is Jesus did all of the work for you on the cross so that you can have eternal life for free as a gift
right.
by simply believing in him. And that frees you up to not worry about your eternal salvation anymore so that you can just love your neighbor and serve Jesus and serve your local church and do evangelism without worrying about your eternal destiny.
Right.
Please keep up the good work. I read the blogs every day and get a lot of inspiration from them. That's what Lon says.
Yeah, we should encourage our people who are listening to the podcast that we also have daily blogs. So if you go to faithalone.org, you can see blogs from Sean or from me or from Ken Yates. We have a blog every day.
Yeah, they're about 500 words long. You can read them in about 5 minutes. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, we weren't doing blogs at all. And then we just started doing them because we thought everybody's doing blogs, so we should. And now that has transformed our ministry.
Yep.
I mean, we get so much good response. I mean, this would be an example
yep.
of a good response from a blog. All right. I don't know if we're going to have time for a last question. Let's try it. This is from Flo. And Flo says, what role does the Word of God need to play in the process of leading someone to eternal life?
Okay, that's a great question. And no one comes to eternal life but through the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 14, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Or in 1 Peter, Peter says that you were born again, not of corruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
But now here's the thing. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a literal Bible in your hand when you're evangelizing, although that's a good thing.
Right.
That's not a necessary thing. The word of God is the truth of God's word.
Right. And it also doesn't mean that the person has to hear all of it. They just need to hear the, at a nutshell, John 3:16.
Right.
Or John 5:24, or John 6:47, or Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Now, I've heard some people talk about coming to faith through some bizarre verse in the Old Testament that had nothing to do with everlasting life. Well, maybe. Maybe the preacher somehow managed to get a reference to Jesus and the promise of eternal life
right.
into, you know, some verse in the Old Testament that really has nothing to do with it. But if a person wants to be born again by the word of God, a good place to go is the Gospel of John.
Right. I read a book by a pastor, a series of letters written to his dying father, who is an atheist, but I believe he came to faith before he died. And the father complained to the son, I have asked for faith. I've gone to the forest. I've gone over here and I've cried out to the open air, give me faith. And the son came back and he said, Dad, you are looking in the wrong places for faith. God said where you could find faith, and it's in the word of God.
That's
faith
good.
Comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so he says, you have to go to God's word in order to get faith. What would you tell someone who right now they don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe in God's word, they don't believe in God? Wouldn't you tell them, go to God's word, read the word of God, and the Lord will work in your life?
Absolutely. And I would tell them, pray about it. Pray and ask God to show you the truth. Can I really be sure? And I would encourage them to go to John's Gospel. There's 21 chapters. Read a chapter every day. In 3 weeks, you'll be done. If you're not sure yet, read it again. Go through it 2 or 3 times and pray each day, Lord, show me. Is it simply a matter of believing in Jesus? And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you through His Word. So we're glad you've joined us, and we pray you'll join us each day so that we can all grow together in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what we must believe in order to be united. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.